Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, walking to school is fun for kids. I think that it gives them a sense of independence. No matter the weather, my kids walk to school. But how to know that they're going to be safe crossing the street, how to teach them those safe routes to school, what to do if somebody stops them, all of these things are a concern to parents. My guest is Dr. Phyllis Agrin. She's a professor emeritus at the University of California, Irvine School of Medicine in the Department of Pediatrics. So, Dr. Agrin, first of all, at what age can we start sending our children to school on their own?
Well, that's a good question, and we can't say there's an exact age. You know, many parents nowadays are fearful of sending their children alone to school, either walking or biking. So one of the suggestions we have is learn about, in your community, the Safe Routes to School program. This is an international movement to increase the number of children who can and do walk safely and to school, and they also bike to school. However, recently, in the last, say, 10 years, fewer kids are walking for a variety of reasons, and one of which is the concern about safety. So alternatives in your community are don't have your child walk alone. Walk with them. Create what we call a walking school bus or an adult bicycle train where children walk in groups. And this helps to assure their safety. It's an opportunity to teach them about safe routes. It's an opportunity to get active in your community, look at your community, and interact with your school.
And how do we teach our children personal security while they walk to school? If we're not walking with them on a daily basis, or maybe they're now in fifth grade or sixth grade and they say, I want to walk on my own, they're feeling that independence, what do we teach them? What's the most important things?
Well, I think, one, you look to your law enforcement in your community and your school and see if they have maps or have identified safe routes for your child to walk. You want to look at the you want to walk the route yourself. You know, is it safe? Are there big traffic lights? Are drivers paying attention? Are they texting on their cell phones? You know, I think as a parent, you have to make an assessment. Is this a safe route? And identify the route for your child to walk on. And then I think you teach your child about traffic safety. You have to be a role model. How many times have we all jaywalked? Well, don't do it in front of your kids because that's not good role modeling. You know, teach them to wait at the corner, follow the lights. One thing, don't assume when the light turns green or the walk sign comes on that it's safe. Kids still have to look both ways before they step off onto the curb. And then I'll just throw something else out for older kids. Have you seen kids walking to school, listening to the radio, earplugs in, texting, talking on the phone, and otherwise multitasking and not paying attention to traffic? So I think this is important. And again, we have to role model that behavior.
Well, I think, you know, as worried as we would be about personal security, stranger danger, that sort of thing,
right.
I don't worry as much about that as I do exactly about what you discussed. The people mm-hmm. texting in their cars, they're on the phone. My kids have to cross very busy roads. There are crossing guards, three of them, and sometimes even a policeman, but that doesn't stop the fact that somebody could just be busy texting and fly right through everything.
You're absolutely right, and I think you have to alert your children to it. You know, as you walk with your children, you can point out, look at that car's texting. And one key, I think, is for kids, for all of us, as a matter of fact, not to cross the street until we've made eye contact with the driver.
So important. Dr. Agrin, that is so important. We have to teach our children to make eye contact with the driver, and even in the winter with the slippery conditions, I tell my kids, let's stand here, even though the crossing guard's out there, let's stand here and make sure that car that's coming up doesn't go sliding through the intersection.
Oh, that's a good point in the snow. I'm in California. We just have rain and pretty good weather, but for snow, that's really important.
Oh,
visibility, too, in the morning when it's not light.
It is, and I'm forever saying that to them. I say, stop and wait, even though the crossing guard is saying, come on, stop and wait, make sure the car doesn't slide through, make sure they make eye contact, and that they're not texting or something like that. Right. I'm the nightmare parent because they hate when I scream at people and be like, you're texting, you're on your phone, and there's kids crossing here, you know? And then they roll their eyes and they're horrified by me. But I want people to know.
Right. Well, you know, I think historically when we look at child pedestrian injuries, we blame it on the kid. Well, if you look around, just what you said, Melanie, the drivers aren't paying attention. And drivers in our community need to be aware that their kids walking, that kids don't have the abilities that adults have with respect to assessing traffic and making good decisions. And I think as a driver in your neighborhood, we need to tell parents as well as those who don't have children, expect a child to run out in front of you and drive accordingly. That means slow, and that means concentrating on driving.
Absolutely. We have to role model. If you're a parent that texts and right. drives, your children will then be a teen that texts and drives.
Yeah. And, you know, I would suggest, too, you talk to local police officers and your local police department about strict enforcement of rules. And many states have no hands-on cell phone use and no texting while driving. And make sure they enforce it, particularly in school zones.
Absolutely. They have to do that, and you have to let, you know, your children know. And I always really like having the police around and involved. So you've assessed traffic safety and the, you know, you've decided when they can walk by themselves. They're traveling in the safe neighborhoods. You know, what about the biking? Do we still ask kids to get off their bikes when they cross the street?
That's a good question, and it's a good idea. You know, of course we want kids to wear their helmets. And just think about this. If you're not sure your child is a safe walker, then for sure you're not sure that he or she is a safe bicyclist, because it takes many more skills to ride the bike and cross the street or ride in the street. So biking even requires a higher level of skills. And I think the best way is get out with your kid, watch how your kid bikes in a safe environment, and teach your kid what safe practices are. Also, find out if your school district or your police department in your neighborhood sponsors bike rodeos where kids can learn how to be safe bikers.
And what about scootering? You know, a lot of kids take their scooters quick to school because it's quicker. Right. And I know mine have argued about wearing their helmets on the scooter. I think it's more dangerous than a bicycle.
I don't know if I can make that assessment, but, you know, their brain, you want them to grow up intact without brain injury, so they have to wear their helmets, and it's just not negotiable.
Not negotiable, and they absolutely cannot be multitasking while they are on their way to school.
Right.
You know, now, if you're somebody who drives your child to school and you get in that long car lane, you know, and that sort of thing, what do you advocate for that? I mean, because then there's really no safety risk except for your parents driving.
Well, and that is a safety risk. It sounds like you've been dropping off and picking up your kids, and you know that school zone safety, these drop-off and pick-up points, are dangerous. People aren't watching. They're concentrating on their kids getting out. The kid may be late and just run out between cars. And part of the idea of walking to school is decreasing traffic at the school, aside from the air pollution created by the idling cars.
Here, you know, I see those long lines, and it is dangerous. Kids dart between the cars.
Right.
The mothers are on the phone while they're sitting there in the line. Sometimes fathers didn't mean to be like that. And you know, I kind of steer my kids away from that long line. But, you know, give us your best advice for getting to school safely and for parents so that we don't freak out every single morning when our kids leave for school.
Right. Well, I think, one, the education component. Two, asking law enforcement and the school what are the safe routes. Three, consider a walking school bus where maybe a group of parents or kids would meet in a parking lot a little bit away from the school and then walk to school. And it's really the school and law enforcement's responsibility to make those drop-off and pick-up zones safer.
Absolutely.
And I would really push for that because those are danger zones.
They are, and if you're a parent like me, you get involved, get talk to the police, talk to your school board, make sure they understand those safety zones. This is Melanie Cole for Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Stay well.